You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ramona Shelburne, Woody Page, Harry Lyles Jr., Pablo Torre. Look at Woody. After that Avalanche win last night. He's not a Manson, he's a Manson. Here you go, Woody.
Hey.
Western Conference Finals, answer right. Who would you rather have, Luka or Steph? Let's go, it's a ridiculous question and I'm here for it.
Legitimately a hard question.
That third quarter, the Miami Heat unleashed last night. It's as if they were propelled by a culture. 39-14, out-toughed this house Celtics coach, Ime Udoka, described what happened to the Seas. Jimmy Butler and the Heat imposing their will while Boston missed two starters, Smart and Horford. Miami taking game one, 118-107. Ramona Shelburne, around the horn to you. What did you learn last night? And did it in any way adjust your outlook for the series?
You know, I was wondering if the Heat was going to be able to score on Boston's defense in the series, especially without Kyle Lowry. I think we got our answer because Jimmy Buckets came to play. He's got the best plus minus throughout the playoffs of any player, plus 143 for Jimmy Butler. Unbelievable in the second half. And I think that Heat defense really kicked in because the Celtics looked like a team that was tired from that seven-game series against the Bucks, especially in the second half. They went on a 22-2 run in the second half, a couple of turnovers. Jason Tatum had about seven turnovers in the third quarter. Most he's ever had. I want to see what happens in the next game here when they're on more equal footing. But Jimmy Buckets, unbelievable, both sides of the ball.
So you're not adjusting your series outlook, but you are learning that Jimmy Butler's a closer? I think we already knew that. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Well, what we learned is that not only can Jimmy Butler be the best player on a championship team, Tony, is that when he is attacking and hunting Peyton Pritchard, he could be the best player on the planet. Like, in a lot of those clips we just watched, Peyton Pritchard is the guy getting hunted down.
Okay, but it won't be Peyton Pritchard if Marcus Smart comes back, if Al Horford's on the floor.
Correct.
That's right.
Correct. And so I think this series is going to be tighter than I gave it credit for. I think the Heat are better than I gave them credit for. I think Heat culture is mostly about empowering Jimmy Butler to be the best version of himself. Let's strip the cliches from it. Just give him the ball, let him do whatever he wants. But I do think that not having Horford and Smart is going to make this look very different in game.
Harry Lyles Jr., bring you in here. Your takeaway from game one.
Yeah, for me, the outlook of the series doesn't change because I think we knew this was going to be a slugfest. However, we did see that the Celtics were not ready for that punch that the Heat had. And I know a lot of people are talking about the 17 that Jimmy Butler had and the 39 points overall they had in that third quarter. But to me, that was a byproduct of the defense that they played. They held the Celtics to literally their worst shooting quarter in 4 years. They were 2 for 15. It took them 7 minutes to score a single point in the third quarter. And along with Jimmy Butler's performance overall, he is emblematic of what Heat culture is. He had 41 points with no three-pointers. Mm. He held the Celtics to 4 of 13 shooting when he was the primary defender. And the reason that you hear guys like Joel Embiid say, I wish I still played with that guy, is because he does not ask anything of his team that he will not do himself.
Mm-hmm. And Woody Page, your takeaway from game one.
Yeah, I got to follow up on there. You're absolutely right that with that mid-range jumper, which is basically disappeared from the NBA, Jimmy Butler and even CP3 have figured out that it still can be a major part of the game, and you can, particularly in the playoffs, when everybody's shooting three-pointers and trying to go to the basket. But everything I've learned about basketball, I found out in the third grade. It's the same sort of concept that I saw in the 50s and 60s when I was a kid. But here's what we did learn last night. Yes, what we learned last night is sometimes a family feud actually works. If you go back to March when Butler and Spoelstra got into it and one was calling the other one crazy, and you said, what is this going to lead the Heat to? It led them to the situation where they are right now. They are 15-6 since they had that little beatdown on the sidelines. That's what we've learned, is it's okay to do that.
Bob Latore, last word after the horn.
Well, hold on. If you were to transport, like, Bam Adebayo back in time, Woody, to your childhood in the 50s and 60s, you would have been burned for witchcraft, okay, beyond the whole time travel thing. But the fact that these games, the fact that the Heat are playing this way and dominating is even more impressive given the modern context.
I think there was a combined 64 three-pointers in yesterday's game attempted, Woody. That was not happening when you were in third grade. We'll let that slide. We'll move on. Tonight, Game 1, Mavericks-Warriors. What the Warriors must do to try to slow down Luka Doncic, if it's even possible. And if what Dallas did to Booker and Paul in the last series, they can do to Curry and Klay. And also one more question I'll just throw out there. Who will end up with more technicals, Draymond or Luka? But let's start with this. Around the horn, one word answer, just so we're on the record here.
Okay.
Ramona Shelburne, first to you, Steph or Luka?
Luka.
Woody Page.
Luca.
Harry Lyles Jr.
Steph.
Pablo Torre.
No. Oh, man. I can't. Luca. I guess it's
one word. There was a lot of words, not one word. All right. Now the assignment, Ramona. If this series comes down to how the Warriors slow Luca versus how the Mavs slow Curry, who's at advantage?
Well, look, the last time they played, and granted, the Warriors didn't have their big three in any of the four games they played this year, the Mavericks slowed down Curry to the point where he took zero shots in the fourth quarter. And they won, and the Mavs obviously won that game. They can slow Steph. And people forget, the Mavs defense, seventh overall, ninth overall this year. But after 2022, when it got to be this year, fourth in the NBA. That's a really good defense. And I think when the Warriors play where they have Draymond and Kevon Looney on the court, it's almost 3-on-5 sometimes. So I think the Mavs can really slow down Steph if they play that same connected defense they did in Phoenix. I don't know how you stop Luka. That's like LeBron and Larry Bird had a baby. He's amazing. Woo! You can't. You just let Luka go and stop everybody else.
Sounds like you're leaning some way. I'm not going to get your pictures yet. Woody Page, how about you?
I never want those baby pictures in my house. I'll tell you what. I think that the Mavs can do a better job of stopping Curry than the Warriors stopping Luka. Luka has added to his game even in the playoffs. They ask him to actually start playing something more than turnstile defense, and he's doing it. He's actually playing some defense. He's stealing the basketball. We saw that in the last game. He is shooting, and if you want to stop him, and I'm the Warriors, I'm going to make him go left. Whenever he goes right, he's got a lot of possibilities that he can deal with in terms of shooting, driving to the basket, and assisting over into the corner. So I think the Mavericks have a much better chance of holding down Curry because he's not that great of an assist man. I know that sounds strange. He doesn't play any defense, really, to speak of, and you're going to have to depend on him to make a lot of three-pointers.
Harry Lyles Jr.
I do think that the Mavericks are going to have a better shot at shutting down Steph and Klay than the Warriors would have with Luka for a couple reasons. One, because Gary Payton II is still, it looks like he's going to be out for most of the series. I think he is a big piece of what they do. And they play really good team defense. Like, Andrew Wiggins is probably going to get a lot of burn here, but it's still going to have to be a team effort. But to Ramona's point with the Mavericks, they have played the fourth best defense since the turn of the new year. The big difference that I'm interested to see between them and the Grizzlies is the Grizzlies were the best at forcing turnovers, and that really gave them problems. The Mavericks are not good at doing that. They were seventh best in the NBA in forcing turnovers. So I think that is going to be a big difference here as we see if they're going to be able to shut them down in the same way.
Seventh best isn't that bad at forcing turnovers.
Seventh worst.
Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. I'll check it while we go to Pablo Torre.
Yeah, look, the thing about Luka and how the Warriors are going to defend him is that they're probably going to do what they did against the Nuggets and the Grizzlies, which is to say they're not going to prioritize defending Luka, right? Jokic went off. They stopped everybody else on the Nuggets, right? Ja Morant, before he got hurt, they let him get all the shots he wanted, stop everybody else. They know they can't stop Luka. The thing with Luka, though, and why he is the pick over Steph Curry, which is a really hard thing for me to say, even after watching all of this, the reason why he gets the edge is that his ability as a passer, as somebody who solves everything,
every possession like LeBron James. Like, it's a Rubik's Cube, Tony. He is going to find Jordan Poole every opportunity he gets. He's going to go five out with those shooters. It's going to be insanely difficult to stop the Mavericks' offense as a whole because Luka's at the center of all of
it. So, again, somebody's leaning there. Pablo, you're leaning Dallas in this series.
I am.
Why do you sound defeated when you're saying that?
Because they have the greatest shooters of all time, and I feel like in the fourth quarter, like what they did against the Grizzlies, right? They can just.
All right, you're already equivocating. Harry Lyles Jr., how about you?
I think I'm still going to go with the Warriors. I'm going to go with their experience.
Woody Page.
I'm going to take Warriors and
Ramona Shelburne.
I officially took the Warriors in seven, but I would like an asterisk next.
No, you will not get an asterisk. Listen to you people. You're unbelievable. Move you to the side for a second. Orlando Magic winning the lottery last night. Can we talk about that for one moment? The perception and hope always is this is a franchise-changing moment. You just won the lottery. Ramona, is that the case for Orlando here? And what are you hearing as far as the best direction for number one?
Well, I think they go Jabari Smith from Auburn. 44% three-point shooter, big power forward, 6'10". I know they keep drafting power forwards, but this is a really good one. And this isn't an obvious pick here. It's kind of who they like, who their department likes. But I think Jabari is going to be their
point
pick.
Blank, is this a franchise-changing moment?
It's in the eye of the beholder.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't sound like a franchise. I don't need to mute you for that, does it?
I'm trying to be nice.
Harry Lyles Jr., how about you?
I think it could be a franchise-changing moment. I think what the Magic need to go for here is you need to be a team that you're not going to win a ton next year, but you need to be fun. And I think that they can be fun. I think Jabari Smith is a good pick here because he is a good shooter. He is also, which is very important in today's NBA, a big that can defend multiple positions. So him along their young core, I think, would be fun. But I think the benefit with him is he is a safe pick while also having a very high ceiling like the other two guys that you could possibly get here.
Woody, franchise-changing moment for Orlando?
No, I think back to Shaq and Penny Hardaway. That, to me, was franchise-changing. I think they have will have three outstanding young players, but they're going to have a veteran. Come in, somehow they're going to have to attract somebody that has been around the league and been around the playoffs and actually guide those three guys, sort of like what we saw with Phoenix with their young players. So I'm not seeing that. Holmgren, I think, is the perfect choice for the Thunder. I want to go to the second pick. I think he's a guy, and we've seen in the past first-round draft choices that fail overall. And then we had the second guys, like the Michael Jordans, who were second or third. So I think Holmgren's going to be the guy in the Thunder's future that actually brings him back to relevancy.
And Pablo Torre.
I like how we get to celebrate the Thunder. LeBron James calls Sam Presti the MVP, whereas once upon a time running a process like this got you fired. I just like how we've come around full circle now. Finally, wisdom has been achieved. And look, the Chet Holmgren thing, I will say this to push back on what Harry said, right? He said there's no ceiling. Well, he said that they all have high ceilings. No one's ceiling is as high as Chet Holmgren's. Did you see him standing next to David Robinson? The idea that this guy who claims he's 7 feet tall is really 7'3", a guy who is a guard in the body of a center. That is a real...
That body, historically, NBA teams would be a little wary about starting a franchise or turning it around. But you think the NBA's changed to the degree where Chet Holmgren can be built around?
I do, and I saw him stop Jalen Duren from Auburn. I mean, Jalen Duren's like...
That'll be the last word. Buy or sell on the other side. Lead. Word. Woody Page, Harry Lyles Jr.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The power play is not the Florida Panthers' friend right now. After going 0 for the last series, you'd think they'd tighten it up, but squadouche for Florida last night. And 3 power play goals allowed to the Lightning, Tampa trouncing Florida in Game 1 on Panthers' home ice. And now Woody Page, your Avalanche outshot St. Louis 41-25 in regulation. Still needed overtime where they outshot him 13-0. Josh Manson, game winner. Woody, the ice is yours. What was the bigger result?
Sure. I mean, the best friend of the Blues last night was the post. It stopped 5 shots or it would have been a blowout. I think it's possible. It's not about the Blues or the Avalanche. It's about the Panthers and the Lightning. Mm. I mean, here's a team, as you've noticed, the 0 for 21 in power plays. No team has done that more often since 2011 with the Boston Bruins, who went 30 power plays without scoring. And you got that the Panthers have lost 7 consecutive opening games in playoff series. They got to get their act together.
You know, you just mentioned the 2011 Bruins with the record for 0 for 30, at least. That team won the Stanley Cup. So, Ramona Shelburne, we'll go to you.
Well, if Woody's not going to say the Avalanche, then I will. I mean, are they going to go undefeated here? I mean, that game was... It should have been a lot more, right? The 46-16 with their top lines against the Blues top lines, but Binnington, the goalkeeper, was incredible. 51 saves, kept it close, and then they get to overtime, 13-0 in terms of shots. Yeah. It shouldn't have been the
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, look, the Florida Panthers to me were the story of the regular season. The fact that the Tampa Bay Lightning are putting the fear of God into them, not just because of the power play stuff, but because the Tampa Bay Lightning, beyond being the 2-time defending champions, are also the team with the 18-game playoff winning streak in games after they lose. So the idea that, hey, you're going to get one off of the Tampa Bay Lightning, great. The bad news is you're definitely going to lose.
But they didn't even get that last night. Okay, and Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, to me, I'm buying the Avalanche here. Like, the Blues goaltender put up a great performance, and it still wasn't enough. The Avalanche got 29 more shots off. To me, this not only signals that the Blues have almost no shot in this series, but that the rest of the NHL is in trouble. This Avalanche team is seriously really good, and I think, to Ramona's point, it'd be pretty neat to see if they could run the table.
I mean, nobody's ever gone 4-4-4-4 before. I mean, I think the only time an undefeated postseason happened was the Canadiens in 1960 when there were far fewer rounds. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. An equal pay deal reached in U.S. soccer. Women's and men's national teams to receive equal split of World Cup prize money, identical appearance fee and bonus criteria, commercial revenue sharing, and equal travel and playing surface accommodation. So no longer will the men make more for qualifying than the women did for winning or women's games on AstroTurf. Finally creates the One Nation, One Team, WMNT forward Mitch Purse said. A lot of congratulation and credit being exchanged here, Harry. How do you consider it?
I'm buying that this is the way that it should be. You know, the women received $4 million in prize money for winning the 2019 Cup, their second consecutive, whereas the men in 2014 got $5.4 million just for making it to the round of 16. And so now that there's going to be 90% of money put into the pool, that is more than any other country that has done that has tried to equal the pay disparity has done. And I think also the little details here matter as well in terms of travel and also the playing surfaces. So to me, treating women's sports as equal is how we advance women's sports as well.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, I was so cynical, I never thought I would see this happen, but it's a smart and fair deal, Tony. The economics of the World Cup are fascinating and often misunderstood. The prize money in aggregate for the men is 7 times that of the women. You might assume then it's because of the revenue, but they negotiate all of it together, so you actually don't even know the revenue for the women. So all of this, what that does is, let's take out the fuzzy math, let's just deal with reality here and what we think should be fair. And the men came to the table and they said, you know what, equality is actually fair, and it is.
Ramona Shelburne.
You know, I was thinking about this, and the way we represent ourselves internationally through sport, through the Olympics, through the World Cup teams, that really is an expression of our values. And I think it was really important and heartening for me to see this, because it's been a long time coming. The women have been fighting for this for a long time. And for the men's team and for USA Soccer to decide we're all going to get together and do one team, that's an expression of American values, that we really do take this seriously. And, you know, a wise woman once said to me, the way somebody shows their appreciation for you is it's money and what they pay you. And the fact that USA Soccer finally stepped up is doing that, that shows an appreciation. It's not just because they win, it's because they value them.
And Woody Page.
There's a famous quote about landing on the moon, and it applies here. One giant leap for womankind. I really believe that. And it's not just about the money. I mean, I was touched by parental care. I mean, really, something as simple and necessary as taking care of the women when they might become pregnant and have babies. I can't imagine. In addition to that, travel, talking about the surface they play on, the way they're treated. That's as important as the money in my mind.
Thanks for your thoughts on that. Woody Page, Pablo Torre, front row seats for a Ramona Shelburne, Harry Lyle showdown in 2 minutes.
Hey.
There you go. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Aces over the Mercury last night during that game. Skylar Diggins-Smith and Diana Taurasi had to be separated on the Mercury bench. You can watch it here while Phoenix Mercury coach Vanessa Nygaard tells us what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, people play sports with a lot of passion. We're not the first team to have any kind of arguments or disagreements on the bench. We've seen throughout the NBA this season and other leagues. So.
Ramona, she called it passion. How do you describe it?
Yeah, you know what? I think we need to stop being afraid of women yelling at each other and having some passion out there. When Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra got into it on the bench, we did a topic on it too, but it turned out to be pretty good for the Heat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Harry Lyles Jr.
Not only did it work out for them too, but also, look, like, these are two great players going after it. If there's not passion on that bench, I think that's when you need to worry about something.
Passion is still alive. We'll move on. 5 Astro home runs in one inning off of Nathan Eovaldi last night. And the same Red Sox fan in the monster seats caught 2 of them, one on the fly, one in a ricochet. Harry, what kind of night was last night for that Sox fan?
That's a great night. I will give it to him that it stinks to watch your team lose, but hey, there's 126 more games, and how many times do you get to walk out with the 2 receipts for the reason why your team lost the game?
Momo?
Something feels off to me about this. There's no one else challenging him for those home run balls. Like, getting one home run ball is like getting struck by lightning. And I just saw him both times. There's like maybe one person kind of running in.
You're calling out the fans in the monster seats. Is that what
What's
you're doing,
Momo? Don't you want that ball?
It's been a tough
Come
year
on,
for them.
Man,
they're not used to
seats.
Red Sox have had a tough start. Point, game, FaceTime, Momo.
All right, so I love bonuses when players win NBA championships or any championship. Spencer Dinwiddie from the Dallas Mavericks has one of the most interesting and fun bonuses. If the Mavs win, he bet $1. $1, you know what that is? That's the Trading Places bet. Where can you, $1, can you turn somebody who is a street hustler into a multimillionaire? Spencer Dinwiddie, can we turn him from Spencer Dinwiddie into an NBA champion if he wins? It's the Trading Places bet.
That's interesting and fun. It's not so lucrative for Mr. Dinwiddie.
Yeah, it feels like a bad bet.
Trading Places bet. Harry has no idea. Too old of a movie for him.